Good afternoon, it's Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. The outdoor education program at Aspen Middle School is pretty unique. Teachers lead students into the wilderness with the goal of teaching leadership, teamwork, and resilience. This isn't a club or an after-school activity. A whole week is dedicated to this, and every student goes. The program is celebrating its 50th year. I'm joined today by outdoor ed leaders Chris Kelleher and Sarah Graber from Aspen Middle School. And what's the student perspective on outdoor ed? Later, we'll hear from Megan Smitty, a ninth grader, and Samuel Veazey, an eighth grader, about the impacts that the program has had on them. Elizabeth Stewart Severy, our environment reporter, was also in on this interview. She's participated in outdoor education both as a student and a leader. Can you just give us an overview of the outdoor ed program? There are different experiences for different age levels.
Yeah, so the outdoor ed continuum really starts in kindergarten. And with a, you know, it could be anything like just a day trip to Hallam Lake or, you know, an overnight to Denver for maybe the second grade. And I'm not sure of the actual progression, but in fifth grade, they have a week-long experience in Arches now. And sixth grade is a two-night hut trip. Seventh grade is a week-long raft trip. And then sort of the culminating middle school experience is the eighth grade seven-night journey to Marble and hike over. And then it goes to high school, which then is the ex-ed is a totally different beast in itself. There are multiple options and, you know, varying difficulties of trips, cultural trips and service trips and outdoor ed trips.
It seems like the middle school experience is meant to take kids into different elements of nature in some way, that at every grade there's kind of a different focus. What do you think is the purpose of having that exposure? What do kids learn in nature? And I think many of us have experienced this, but as a teacher, what do you see of that?
Well, I think that it's, and Sarah can chime in on this as well, but I think that it's the eighth grade program is the one that started it all, and then the sort of work backwards down to fifth grade. The idea is it's built on the outdoor or the Outward Bound model of learning through experience and then reflecting on that experience. And when you do get out in nature, it's a pretty raw experience. You're exposed to the elements and things become very obvious. What's important? Food, shelter, you know, companionship. And I think that that's a great way to teach anybody, but especially young kids, what they're made of and what they're capable of.
And I'd agree with that. I think the outdoor setting allows you something that you wouldn't get in the classroom necessarily. Take, for example, the high rappel where students are literally walking over the edge of the cliff, sitting back in the harness and kind of trusting the rope system, trusting themselves to lower themselves down the cliff and presenting themselves with that challenge. When they achieve that, it's an opportunity to then realize that can affect other parts of their life, whereas you know, trying to challenge themselves within the classroom, they might not be ready to take that first step. But when they learn that they are able to meet a challenge outside, all of a sudden, then they can start applying that to, different class experiences or other applications in their lives.
Like, what are some touchstones of the program that you feel like our community talks about?
I think probably the most powerful is the solo, which is an overnight experience alone. With you and a journal and a pen and your thoughts, and again, that breaks it right down into what really is important. Your phone really isn't that important, but, and you realize you can survive without it. I think that's probably the most profound. A lot of the kids comment as well on the higher pal, some of the team building stuff, but there's also just even in the hike, you know, the kids have this huge sense of accomplishment. You're looking at that pass right in front of you, and it's a visible, tangible goal. It's not like, oh, I have to pass the ACT, but you can apply conquering that pass to sitting down to take the SAT when you're a senior in high school.
So actually, all three of you went on outdoor ed yeah. as students, which is so yeah. cool. So kind of the same questions. What do you remember? What impacted you?
I definitely remember, I mean, I can remember everyone who was in my patrol, all the other students I was hiking with. I remember, oh yeah, when we were up in between these two passes, it started snowing on us, and just, you know, kind of hanging out in tents and around camp. You know, we live in such a beautiful area, so getting to experience that and see that, I mean, it made me want to continue to go out and experience it. And you know, I still have flashes of different stretches of trail. And then everything, just the base camp challenges and activities. I remember the technique our group used to try to get up the wall and going over the silent log. And I think really there's something that stands out for every day of the trip, because it is such a unique thing to just be with a group of your fellow classmates and teachers in a different setting, meeting those challenges.
Elizabeth, how about you?
My eighth grade year, the hike got snowed out. So we were up, I think I was up Capitol Creek, and it got totally snowed out. So we camped an extra night, and it continued to snow. And we spent a lot of time in tents, like Sarah said, like bonding with your classmates. And then we hiked out. I had never been snow camping before, so that stands out to me. And then we got picked up in the vans. We got taken back to town, and there was this like tremendous letdown that felt like we didn't even make it to Marble, and like nobody knew what was going to happen with the rest of the week. And at some point, somebody made the decision that we were all going to be bused to Marble. So we did still go to Marble and go to base camp. And we arrived there, and they put us immediately out on solo. And I was the kind of kid who couldn't even make it through like a sleepover at a friend's house as a young kid. So the idea of solo, I think, is pretty daunting to a lot of kids. And it was also daunting to me. So I remember sitting, like Chris mentioned, you know, sitting in the structure that I had constructed so poorly to keep the rain out, and sitting with my journal and in my sleeping bag and with these notes from my parents and my siblings, kind of thinking, you know, it helps. I think it helped me think about the priorities in my life in a really pretty profound way. That's the moment that I remember is, and it wasn't a moment. It was 24 hours of moments sitting by myself in my poorly constructed tarp, pretty much wrapped around me like a cocoon. I didn't learn those lessons well.
The burrito method.
Yeah, the burrito.
So I want to talk about, because your experience kind of highlights the concerns that people, I don't know. So if you look at the website, you've got pictures and you have a kid doing a trust fall. And I think that picture alone would raise concerns of like middle schoolers doing trust falls. And then you see the high rappel and you see like the hut trip and students. There's something that's like, if your kid doesn't know how to ski, don't worry. We'll spend 4 days teaching them like on the Nordic course. I'm like, four days. So first of all, I guess I'm curious about safety and precautions that are in place, but also maybe more importantly, what does it mean that we're committed to this program where there are some risks that we still embrace this after 50 years?
I think there's a, you know, you look at the model of team building, speaks of the trust fall or the high ropes course, and companies spend tens of thousands of dollars to send their executives on retreats where they do those very things. And it's, there is risk involved, absolutely. And, you know, we acknowledge that and we do what we can to mitigate that risk. There's, you know, we've got the extensively trained staff. They're probably well over half the teachers in the middle school are wilderness first responders, which is a pretty intense course. We've got even more medical expertise when we're in base camp. A lot of the people who come up to help are ski patrollers and EMTs. And so we take that into account as best we can. You know, but it's risky walking down the street. You can't control anything that's going on. And so, yeah, there's some inherent risk involved in taking kids out into the backcountry. But the reward, I think, far outstrips the concern that, oh, so-and-so might. And we have had some accidents in the past. And they've been some have been sort of substantial. I don't know how much you want to say about that. But it's, I think that it's important to get the kids out there and teach them that they are capable and that despite the risk, they can make it safe. And, I guess a perfect example is we had a student a couple years ago whose parents at the after our information meeting pulled me aside. And for 3 hours, I had to talk them into letting their kid go on the program. And they had just moved here. They didn't camp. They weren't outdoorsy people. They were sort of the prototypical newcomer to the Valley. And not that they were averse to it, but they had some really serious concerns. And when they came back, their daughter's now done multiple Knowles courses, and you know, and they said, wow, she's such a completely different person now than had they stayed in Texas or wherever they were from. And so I think that it is a life-changing and important experience to get the kids exposed to, despite the risk.
I do think it's really powerful to let kids face challenges in a way that is supported. And I don't think I realized it as a student, but everybody knows where you are when you're on solo, and you're not, you know, it's not really the scary experience that it seems to be, or that it seemed to be in my mind at least. And I'll never forget my first year leading an eighth grade outdoor ed trip. I put, you know, I worked with Andy Poppenchuk, and we put kids out on solo, and then it started to hail, and it hailed harder than I've ever seen it hail in my life. And there was one particular student who was down along Avalanche Lake, and all she had to build her structure were boulders from the scree field that comes right down into the lake. And she had stacked some rocks and kind of jerry-rigged this little shelter for herself. And Andy Poppenchuk said, Elizabeth, you need to go check on some kids. I'll take these kids, you take these kids, go make sure everybody's okay. And I'll never forget walking up to her, and the hailstorm had completely collapsed her shelter, and she's busy rebuilding it, and they're not really supposed to talk, so they're not really even supposed to engage. And I just kind of looked over, you know, around the corner and shouted, like, are you okay? And she turned around and looked at me and just mimed, like, go away, because she didn't want to break solo. And this was a kid who was, like, nervous and afraid, but then once you're in the experience and you realize how much you can overcome, I think it's pretty profoundly important in an eighth grader's life to realize how much they're capable of.
Yeah, I would add too, I mean, it's rare that adults are asked to take the same kind of challenge as we take kids out to on solo. How many adults have spent a day and night out on their own, let alone out in the wilderness with a rustic shelter? And so I think, you know, we want to kind of promote that challenge, and what a better age than eighth grade, where they are starting to learn so much about themselves. And going through that experience, you know, they have an opportunity to take whatever they learn and kind of apply that for the rest of their lives. And, you know, so I think that's just one of the benefits of doing it at that age. And, you know, as far as safety goes, although minor incidents have occurred, I do think 50 years of the program kind of stands on itself as, you know, we've seen the fruits of the success and so many accounts of achievements kind of down the road from people who've gone through the program. So, it's definitely something to take seriously, the possibility of risks of being in the backcountry. But as Chris said, it's sort of worth the risk, knowing that the reward is so great.
You're listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay. The outdoor education program at Aspen Middle School is now in its 50th year. Here to speak about the impact of this unique program is Chris Kelleher, who helps plan it, and Sarah Graber, an ESL teacher and outdoor ed leader. Later in the program, we'll be joined by students Megan Smitty and Samuel Veazey. Elizabeth Stewart-Severy, our environment reporter, also joined us in the studio. You guys talked about the impacts on you personally, but I'm curious, what are the impacts on the rest of the school year? I mean, you as teachers have gone through something with these kids. Like, the kids have seen you, like, in the morning, no coffee, after sleeping in a tent all night. How does that change things for the dynamic of the school year?
I think it's only positive. It's, I think, an opportunity for both students and teachers to kind of see each other out of that element of the student-teacher role, but also it's a way to kind of build respect of, hey, you're out here doing what I'm doing, and I'm here doing what you're doing. And, you know, you can bond with students that way. And even if, you know, you had students who weren't in your patrol, just knowing that they've gone through the same experience that you have and vice versa, I think it allows us to really just have great relationships with students. That is a benefit throughout the school year.
Yeah, I think that it's probably the best part about the program, the relationship between the leaders and the students, is that we see each other at our very best and at our very worst. They see us get frustrated and we're over it, and it cannot take you that long to pack a sleeping bag. We need to go. We have to get over the top, you know. And it teaches us patience and humility, and because we're all coming from different points, and we're human too, and we get frustrated, and we have, you know, the same challenges on a slightly different level because we've got 8 kids in our care, and you know I think that the best part is that when you get back into the classroom, I hope that most of the kids recognize that they've seen us as human beings too, and we're not this perfectly planned, and they've never seen me in my classroom, which is like total make it up as I go. But there's nothing that's totally scripted on Outdoor Ed, because you have to deal with stuff as it comes. And so they get to see that, and you know, just how we deal with stuff, and we're not perfect either. You know? So we also see what kind of sets them off and understands, hey, I can't reach the kid this way, but you know, or you see a kid who's frustrated. Hey, remember when you were going up the pass and you were hating it so much and you made it? So let's just take this one step at a time and we'll get over it and figure it out.
It seems like a powerful way to show kids that you really are on the same team. You really are working towards the same goals.
Yeah. And we do definitely have their best interests at heart. You know, I want them to get to base camp and I want them to experience this and I want them to be terrified at the top of the higher Pell and realize they can do it, despite the fear or the insecurity or whatever, that it is possible to do this with help from their peers and from the teachers and from the people on the other end of the rope.
Chris.
Yes.
You've been involved in outdoor ed since 1981, when you completed 8th grade outdoor ed as an 8th grader.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also the 50th anniversary this year. Can you talk a little bit about how the program has evolved or changed in those 50 years? And maybe you can speak more specifically to the past 30
years.
Yeah, or so.
A little bit. So shortly before I was born, they started doing outdoor ed. And a man named John Kuhlman decided that he was going to, he'd been out on a hike and realized that there was almost no one in the backcountry. And he said, this is ridiculous. There's no one out here. In Europe, this would be covered with people. And so the very first year, they took people to Ashcroft, and they think did a two-night overnight in Ashcroft. And the superintendent, or the principal at the time, was just up for anything. And he said, next year, we're going to expand and do this other stuff. So then they hired Mike Flynn to help run the program. And it sort of evolved into what it is today. But there's always been the solo. It's been done a little differently. Now we do it on the hike over. When I was there, we actually spent a night in base camp and then went back out. So, but the elements are still the same. And it's all, as I said earlier, based on learning through this experience and then reflecting on it and growing from that. Because you can have an experience and not learn from it if you don't reflect on it. And that's, you know, that's the idea of the program. So this was my 19th trip as a leader and 20th overall, going as 8th grade. So I've seen the majority of them, which is kind of, the kids are all like, yeah, you were there at the very beginning. And I actually wasn't. It probably seems like but it's, you know, it's, and even within that, those years have all really been the same, but every year is totally different because you have a new group of kids, you've got new teachers, you've got different weather challenges. They might put you on a different route. So it's all, you know, as much as it stays the same, it's all very different every year.
So education, it seems like it's pretty focused now on technology, on achievement. Do you think the outdoor ed program stands kind of in contrast to the direction that education might be heading, or does it kind of integrate some of those focuses?
I don't think it stands in contrast in any way. It's different, but I think it serves as a complement rather than sort of a detriment to kind of all the other elements of the program. And because it allows an opportunity to do things that are not possible within the classroom, it really serves to just open students' eyes, teachers' eyes, to other ways to achieve something, other ways to learn. And in that sense, it's really only adding to educational experiences. And, you know, one of our goals through the school system is not just for students to learn academics, but it's also creating, you know, strong citizens that are capable of growing up and living in, you know, the so-called 21st century world. So anything else you can provide for students with a way to navigate that and be confident in themselves is a benefit.
You ever take a picture of a sunset with your super digital camera and you're like, oh, it's beautiful? It's never the same. And so you could put the kids out on a virtual high rappel and show them what it's like from video, from all different angles. And it's not the same as stepping backwards and looking down 110 feet and you're in control. And your feet are shaking, and you can't replace that with technology. And I think, as Sarah said, that the goal of the trip, I think, has sort of evolved into enhancing what can be done in the classroom and give them an idea of what is possible through actually doing something rather than virtually doing something.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. That was Aspen Middle School teachers Chris Kelleher and Sarah Graber and Aspen Public Radio environment reporter Elizabeth Stewart Severy. The outdoor education program at Aspen Middle School is now in its 50th year. Coming up next, I'll sit down with 9th grader Megan Smitty and 8th grader Samuel Veazey to get the students' perspective on this unique program. Megan and Samuel, when you think about outdoor ed, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? A word, an experience?
Probably solo.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, my solo, I was like super excited because my whole family grew up in Aspen and they have like told me about solo forever. And I started off like super scared because I was just like, oh my God, I have to be alone in the woods. And then when it was time, I was super excited. So I was like, put me the farthest away. And there was a huge rainstorm and like I just like watched the mountain and it was just a good experience.
How about you, Samo?
I think a combination of, as you said, Megan, solo, but also fear, because like the trustful and the wall and the high rappel especially, they're all incredibly scary, but the idea is for us to overcome it and realize it's fear, but it doesn't matter as long as we don't end up dying. Life is slightly more grim than I thought.
Can you point to a way that you were changed by any of your experiences on outdoor ed? Can you say, like, I was like this before and now I'm like this?
Probably my Superman experience, because I was never really like afraid of heights. And then when I did my high rappel, I was like, okay, I am afraid of heights.
Can you talk about what the Superman means?
The Superman is where you put both feet on like the edge of a cliff and they push you out kind of, but you're held onto a rope. And I was just, I had no control. So I felt like super like useless and scared. And I personally started crying, like not like bawling, but I was just crying. I'm like, oh my God, you have to take me off. Like it was so super scary. But I feel like even though I was afraid and I learned that I was afraid of heights, I feel like it made me even like less afraid of heights because I felt that like if I can do that, then I can do like anything.
Mm. Samuel, you just kind of came back like a week ago, right?
Yeah, I got back last week.
Do you feel like you're still kind of processing? Like what has it been like to kind of re-enter the real world after being gone?
It was different because being in the wilderness for a week and like not showering and just a lot of time with people and 24 hours without people, and then to return to just being with the normal amount of people and not having to sleep 5 feet away from two friends, and yeah, it was very different because it's not the wilderness in your house.
Do you miss parts of it? Is it kind of a blessing and a curse to be back?
Yeah, definitely. I loved hiking way more than I thought I would because it's mindless in a way. And it's just there thinking and walking.
Mm. Why do you think it's important to experience fear in maybe not in school, but kind of
in a school experience?
I think it's good to be, like, afraid of things, because then when you, like, conquer it, you just feel like you've, like, reached, like, a higher level of a goal, because you're like, I was so afraid, but not, then I did it. So I feel like it's really important to have fear, because then once you face it, it's, like, not fear anymore.
I think it's definitely important to have fear there and conquer it for similar reasons, because, like, so before I did the trust fall and stuff, I had no faith in other people in my grade. But after the trust fall and the wall, which were terrifying for all of us, I think, I don't know about them, I now trust him. Like, it's different. Through fear, we all got through a thing, and now we all know that we can get through a thing together.
And Megan, you were born and raised in Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like you've kind of, like, accomplished this thing that the community talks about, that, like, everybody has gone through?
Yeah, I feel like it kind of, like, officially made me, like, an eighth grader. Like, I feel like Outdoor Ed makes you an eighth grader, and if you don't go on it, like, you're seventh grader. But, like, yeah, my dad and my aunt, they all told me about my Outdoor Ed experiences and their Outdoor Ed experiences. And then I remember my brother getting ready for 8th grade Outdoor Ed and just coming back just, like, a new person with, like, wilderness. And then when I went on, it was just exactly what they said. And I just felt, like, accomplished that I did it, too.
And Samuel, you actually are relatively new. When did you move to Aspen?
I moved here in November in a couple years ago.
So. Do you remember what it was like for you to hear about the Outdoor Ed program?
I thought it was a bit strange and silly, because, I mean, at my old school, the closest thing to this was my school was built in the middle of a forest. And so the closest thing was we go outside and sit with some trees for a while and then go back inside and do maths and stuff. But I don't really know exactly what I thought it was going to be until I did it. Because telling someone you're going to hike for 5 days and then stay, not 5 days, however many days, and then stay in a place in the forest in tents and climb a wall with your friends and go down a cliff, I didn't really think it was going to happen. It was just kind of something far from the distance. And then I did it, and it was incredibly strange and different. And, yeah.
Do you think now that you've done it, is it worth it to have the program at the school?
Definitely. It's one of the best things I've done in this year, and it's going to be one of the best things I've done for a while, I feel. So, yeah.
You guys, thank you all so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. The outdoor education program at Aspen Middle School is celebrating its 50th year. Thanks to everyone who joined me today to talk about it. Aspen Middle School teachers Chris Kelleher and Sarah Graber, and current students Megan Smitty and Samuel Veazey. Thanks also to environment reporter Elizabeth Stewart Severy for coming into the studio. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed today's show, you can go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Cross Currents is a production of Aspen Public Radio.